Amen. Now, did you get your ground plowed?
Yeah.
You got you ready for the seed, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I mean, after all that, we have a little bit of business we have to do real quick. I got to pray for somebody in the back. My spirit's not at rest. Something's wrong. They left. We're going to pray against the spirit of suicide and murder. Okay? I've already called the cops. They're aware of what may happen. They're looking. But things just weren't right. So we're going to pray right now. If you have a prayer language, pray in it. Because this spirit will not succeed.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we bind this spirit of murder and suicide. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in this young woman's life. You're setting your hand over her. You're protecting her, her mind from listening to what these demonic powers may be saying. We bind those influences right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray for hope, for the spirit of hope to rest upon her. Lord God, for joy, for life to come back to her. In Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you're moving and we will see this young woman and this little boy again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Like I said, some days we get to just shout and dance and joy, do all this stuff, and some days we just got to put on our battle gear and put our big boy boots on and kick the devil in the face. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to be on a short vacation. They asked me when I first came in, how was it? And I said, I missed my bed. That's when you know you have finally gotten a mattress that is better than the hotels. And my pillow. We laid down on the bed last night. Oh, it's like a cloud. Oh, praise God. But anyhow, we are rejoicing at what God is doing here. You know, the things, like I said before, the devil, he's going to come up here and he's going to pray with Grandpa. Is that what you're doing? He has figured out he can go other ways now. Mama's over here. I'm going this way. Hallelujah. But anyhow, the devil does not want things succeeding. And so that's one reason why we have to be sensitive to what the Spirit is leading. Oh, yeah, it could have been just normal, whatever. I just about waited to pray for her at the end, and then she said, I'm going to leave. And so we stopped her and prayed for her. And you can ask Bob, I thought she's going to break my hand holding it. But praise God, that's what it's all about. It's about stopping the devil, folks. It's not about building a memorial to ourselves. I don't care if this church is around in 200 years. That I don't care about. I care about that maybe there are 200 churches because of this church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. Should the Lord tarry another 200 years? I don't see it. I'm not seeing it. So anyhow, let's bless the tithe and offering. Amen. Father God in heaven, we thank you. We praise you for this day. Lord God, we present to you, Lord, our tithes and offerings. Father, we rejoice in your goodness and your mercy and your love. Father, I thank you and praise you now that you're moving in this body and you're receiving this tithe and offering as holy and as a sweet aroma to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Well, I can tell y'all, I can give you just straight up heads up information. Never go to Put-in Bay on a weekend. It is not. The last time we went, we didn't know it was Christmas in July. That was worse. But the weekend, we get on the thing. I mean, I knew right off the bat it was going to be bad because we had to park If you've ever been there to the Miller Ferry, we had to park in the very back parking lot, two blocks away. And so we get over there. We got the front seat on the ferry going over. It was great. Nobody in front of us. We just sat there and let the wind blow in our face. We got down early to make sure we could get a good running start at the golf carts. It was the last time we had to ride bicycles. And I'll just tell you right now, I don't know what happened, but this backside here don't fit the seats very well. It used to, but not anymore. We get up there. Jesse and I were starting to go over to this other one. We could see the sign from where we were at that said sold out. So we headed right across the road. They had three. And they were all two-seaters. Everybody's wanting four. And we thought, well, he'd get one, we'd get one. We're good. Well, over there you had to be 21. And they wouldn't rent it to him. I'm like, well, it doesn't do us any good for just to have two of us. And so we got out of line. There was a whole circumstances. Things didn't work out. And Mama didn't have her driver's license. So she couldn't rent it. We get out of line. And a four-seater pulled up. They're standing there watching them. They're getting their stuff out. The gal comes over, takes the cart, makes sure the gas is good and everything. She parks it. Angela's like, hey, go get back in line. Now, mind you, I gave up. There was a line of people behind us, wasn't there, Jesse? And there were two groups of four in front of me. First group steps out complaining, we even reserved one. You're supposed to have a cart for four. Now, I know you may be thinking, hey, Pastor, you should have said something. They were going to get drunk. Not me. You can walk. Walk it off. That's what I always had to do. Then the next group. No, we don't have one. Because they hadn't checked it in yet. By the time I got there, they had checked it in. And I said, is that one available? She said, oh, yeah. There's my driver's license. Here's my credit card. We got one. Praise God. We rode bicycles last time. It was okay. Just okay. I had to keep thinking as I drove all by all those people on their bicycles. No. And we even got to go up into Memorial. So it's the first time in 18 years we've been able to do that. Every time we've gone over, it was closed for one reason or another. And we were the last group on the observation deck before a storm came in. So it was good. Fun. Oh, praise God. Well, I told you when we got up here, you plowed the ground, right? You got up here, you praised. I know you can't, some of you can't sing. I'm not going to beat around the bush on that. Some of us just can't sing. We weren't gifted in that. But we still need to open our mouths. We still need to let that out. Because I'm going to tell you, part of the reason why you can't sing has absolutely nothing to do with a talent. The devil wants to keep you quiet. He doesn't want the ground plowed. Now, before no-till practices, every year, every spring, what did they do? They were out plowing the grounds. My favorite time of the year, because I'd go out looking for arrowheads. You don't find arrowheads anymore. But they'd turn the ground under. And they'd get all those seeds buried deep so that they couldn't take root. There's a purpose for the plowing. And it also reveals what's inside. You know, that's when the big rocks come up, isn't it? I've never plowed a field, but I'm sure there's a few people in here who have. You know when you hit a big rock, right? I mean, I've heard them. That is a loud noise. And when you hit that big rock with that plow, it'll even jerk you on a tractor. So you know there's a rock there. And eventually that rock will make its way to the top. Everything that is in the bottom will start coming up. And plowing allows us to get that up quicker. Let me translate that over to the spiritual realm for you. When you're praising the Lord, when you're opening your heart up to God and you're singing and you're plowing, that God is allowing, you're allowing all that garbage to start to come up. You've got to get rid of the garbage, folks. You can't carry it in your heart. You've got to get that garbage out of there so that the seed can take. We read in the Bible, you can tell I was on vacation, I shut my brain off. We read about the parable of the sower. And there was one ground that was stony and it was hard. That's ground that's not properly prepared, or ground that the stones have never been removed. Several years ago, I did a message on the stony ground. See, we've all got stones in our hearts. We all got that stony ground. There's little things. No, you can't take that from me. That's my pet peeve. Well, you need to let that pet peeve go. You need to let that go. You need to let this go. Well, it's just a little stone. It ain't going to hurt anything. Eventually, it will. Because unlike natural stones, spiritual stones, they get bigger. And they will choke out the seed. I.e., today, the word I'm giving you, if you don't deal with the stones that came up today, and let God start dealing with you on those and cleaning those things out, the word I'm giving you today will be choked out by those stones because they won't take root. I know everybody shows these pictures of a tree that found just a little bit of dirt in the crack of the side of a mountain, and it got the gigantic tree growing out, but the tree's useless. Oh, it's cool. You can go down to Hocking Hills, you can find them all the time, a tree growing out of a crack. And most of the times the tree actually caused the crack. But the tree's useless. You can't sit under it. You can't climb it. I wouldn't climb it. And I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. Because it doesn't have proper rooting. It may be able to grow, but other than that, it's not going to benefit anybody. You are called to benefit. You're called to benefit your neighbor, those around you. But when I did that message on the stony ground, the Lord took me and He showed me things. He's often referred to us as a vineyard that's been planted, right? The first thing they do when they clear the ground and get it ready for the vineyard is they take the rocks and they gather up all the rocks. They get that ground cleared. And then they take the rocks and they build a wall of protection. Not that people can't get into you anymore, but you won't let that thing get into you anymore. Because there's only one way in. There's a gate. You now have a wall with a gate. This is what I talk about with people about drinking. When you get drunk, this was my biggest problem. The gatekeeper went numb, right? You did stupid stuff you'd never do before. And hopefully never did again. Maybe you learned. But when the gatekeeper is dulled, anything can get in. And so God takes those stones, those rocks, and builds a perimeter of protection around you. Well, they're never going to hurt me. I'm not talking about the stones, the walls that we build up. We never let anybody in. There's a way in. Come through the gate. We don't need to take us to the political arena for today, do we? Come through the gate. The little foxes are what it's trying to stop. The foxes will eat the fruit. They'll eat the grapes. Then you don't have a harvest. You don't have the raisins. You don't have the fresh grapes. You don't have the wine, the jellies, and all the stuff that is made from the vineyard. You don't have that because the little foxes in your life are the things that the devil uses to come and get you. He steals your joy. He steals your peace. Tells you that there's no way out. But you're the vineyard, and if you look around you and you see that wall built, the beautiful wall, I think they're beautiful. I flew over Ireland. I'd love to have landed there, but we flew over. I could see the rock walls of all those little fields. They're just gorgeous. Go up into New England, the stone walls that they built by clearing the fields so that they could plant. You look and you see the beauty, knowing that will never hurt me again. I have forgiven it, and God took it and He built the wall. He is the gatekeeper. That's what we need to understand about Jesus. He said he was a great shepherd, right? I'm really a hireling, okay? I hate to use that term because Jesus didn't speak well of the hirelings when he referred to the sheep. But Jesus said, I am the great shepherd. And he said, and if one of my sheep goes out, if I have 100, but one of them has gone astray, I will leave those 99 and go for the one. Now you need to understand something. He's leaving the 99 in the fenced wall with a hireling standing there. People wonder, what's the purpose of church today? This is part of it, folks. There is a spiritual blessing that comes upon people who sit in churches. People, I can praise the Lord in the tree stand. Yeah, but you're not. I can praise the Lord on my motorcycle. Yeah, but you're not. Well, church, I can have church at 2 a.m. Amen. How about you get up at 10 a.m. and come? Because you ain't having church at 2 a.m. They don't want any spiritual authority over them. And that has always been God's deal. Adam was spiritual authority over all mankind. That's it. Adam was the spiritual covering. Adam failed. Jesus came and replaced Adam as our spiritual covering. But he said, I have to go. Did he not? I have to go. But I'm going to leave you in good hands. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit for starters. He sent the Holy Spirit. He said, but I'm going to set up people to look after you, to take care of you. And the first ones he did in that, folks, is a pastor who is what we call the shepherd, right? That shepherd's job, when the good shepherd left, it was up for that other shepherd to stand guard at the gate to make sure nothing came in. And then if anything did come in, he dealt with it. This is where we find David talking about your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One was meant to just keep you in line. Just a little, you know, that's why it's got that little crook in it. You just slip it over the head and pull it. Come on, get back over here. But the staff, or as you were, the rod. My book, they're the same thing. They're both just long poles. But one was used for defense. You ever watched a martial arts movie? You know what I'm talking about. Or if you've watched Lord of the Rings, they fight with sticks. But boy, they can fight. The man at the gate protected the sheep. The shepherd would come and take them out to pasture. We've plowed the ground this morning. We came, we praised the Lord. We opened up our hearts. And now God says, it's time for the word. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I knew it. Pastor's going to talk about money today. I'm going to talk about all kinds of seed, folks. Money is a seed. You need to understand that. So many people are walking around poverty because they won't sow a stinking seed. We all know the story of Jack and the beanstalk, right? Take the cow. We're going to go. You sell it. And then we're going to eat what we can. And then we're going to die. Does that sound like a story out of the Bible to you? Remember the widow woman? Okay, you do that, but first make me a cake. Sow a seed. Jack changed that cow for seed. Something that can be planted. Now, we all know the rest of it. I prefer the later version, Jack the Giant Killer. I think that one was totally cool. Yeah, I kind of like some of that stuff. That two-headed giant was hilarious. But folks, every seed you sow, God has said, it will come to pass. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything. There's a sowing time. There's a harvest time. We're now getting set up. Farmers are getting geared up to harvest and sow for a crop for next year. Whatever a man sows. Whatever. What's a whatever? I'm not an English. I was definitely not an English. Strong in English. Let me put it that way. Bring up Psalm 62. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. You could say deeds, right? Work, deeds, the things you do. I can't remember, I think it was Buddy Bell, but I don't remember, years ago when I was in North Carolina, taught on this message, and he said, every deed is a seed. Every deed. You hold the door open for somebody. That's a seed. You help somebody out of the ditch. That's a seed. You need to remember that. You cut somebody off in traffic on purpose and laugh about it. Those seeds come back with vengeance. They're like thistles and nettleweed. They just love, you can spray them all you want. They're coming back. God renders to each one of us according to our works. Now, folks, everybody, well, that we're all talking, he's talking about the end. If I'm only trying to do good things so that in the end I may have a treasure, I know the Bible tells us lay up our treasure. There's a treasure we lay up there, but we have a harvest here. When we do good deeds, when we pray for others, when we sow financial seeds for things, we are sowing a seed. Now, since that's one of the biggest ones, I'm going to hit it so I can go on. Financial seeds. You need a new car. Well, Pastor, I don't see what sowing $50 is going to help me get a new car. How about if I double dog dare you? Sow a seed and see what God does. Well, I still had to go to the bank, but yeah, but you got a better car than what you would have. God moved on your behalf because of faith. Well, I don't know, Pastor. Debt cancellation, and I'm going to tell you right now, and this, I like to just kind of want to just kind of smack this guy just a little bit to knock the stupid off of him. But there's a well-known financial guru who's telling people, if you are in debt, you cannot tithe. Or you should not be tithing. He's wrong. He's wrong. How about you rebuke the devourer and let God bless you? Financial security is not blessing of God. It can be a blessing of God. But I'm here to tell you, when you tell people not to tithe, I'm here to tell you, God spoke to a prophet called Malachi, and he said, you are cursed with a curse. Tithing comes first. Well, I'm doing okay. How would you like to do great? How would you like not to worry? Well, Pastor, you seem to have a cushy job. You mean you don't have to worry. Really? I have to worry every week that I don't tick everybody off and they leave. So I don't worry. But you stop and think about it. All of my eggs are in one basket. The that hit me one day. I'm like, Lord, you mean I got it? But you know what you want me to say? There are going to be people get mad at me. It won't be the first time. But I'm here to tell you, tithing, first off, is your financial plow. You don't have a seed until you've tithed. Well, I'm paying off my debt, Pastor. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do it what I think. Well, Einstein, you got in debt in the first time. So why don't we do it God's way this time? You're the one who keeps putting yourself in debt, not God. So why should God suffer? By the way, taking what belonged to God is what caused the fall of man to begin with. Y'all think about that? One stinking tree. He didn't say this species of tree, this genus of tree. He said this one tree. Osborne's orchard out here. Most of us know where it is, right? It's on 42 outside Williamsport. How many trees would you say they have? Richard, do you know? Okay. They have over 800 trees on that property. 800 fruit trees. I know because the deer that I'm hunting make a beeline over there in the fall. And I can smell the apples. But folks, one tree. That's like God saying, you can't have the fruit that comes off of this little cherry tree in front of your church. We'll even go two. But God, I like cherries, which that don't produce. But I like cherries. And I do. Boy, this has been a great year for cherries. Man, they've been abundant and cheap. But God, I want the cherry. Well, why don't you go down the road to the cherry tree that you're allowed to pick from? But that's not what they did. They wanted what was God's. Well, we got what was God's. Here we are. Jesus had to come back as a man and redeem us from that curse. Every time somebody needed a miracle, you know what they did in the Bible? Look, I'm going to challenge you because I know some of you doubting me. You do your own study on it and see what God told them to do. Sow a seed. One person, the prophet said, make me a cake and then you can go die if you want. Well, now from a minister standpoint, that's bold. I got to tell you, I don't think I could do that. But you know what? My compassion is selfishness. The prophet's compassion was true compassion because he knew what God was going to do. And he said, I will bless them. Another. This is all the oil we have. Go borrow all the containers you can get your hands on and start filling them. They had to sow a seed. Oh, by the way, did you notice they borrowed? It's a sin to be in debt. It is not a sin. Quit listening to people bringing condemnation on you. It's not fun. I'll tell you right now, the Bible says about debt, the servant or the borrower is servant to the lender. I owe, it's off to work I go, right? But God's kingdom is built upon a seed, time, and harvest premises. You sow the seed, there will be a harvest. Right now at the moment, I'm eating the harvest of my work in the spring. My garden was wet. My garden was goopy. And it was chunky, and I still went out there and planted those plants, and for the first time, I've eaten a muskmelon. I grew that big around. And it wasn't even the biggest one, but it was ripe. Tomatoes, I planted. Cucumbers, which I need to talk to you about the fungus and stuff and how to keep that stuff off. I'm like, man, they just start producing, and I got 2 weeks, and they're dead. I've tried some stuff. It hasn't worked, apparently. But my point being, you got to sow a seed. I can't tell you how many times I walked out there, wringing my hands, watching those tomato plants grow, thinking, oh, yeah. I didn't get any fried green tomatoes last year. I have this year. I told Angela, I said, I don't care if any of them come to harvest. I'm going to eat them green. Yeah, you may not like them. It's an acquired taste. Primarily, you have to have roots real close to the river. But a seed had to be planted in order for me to have a harvest. How about deeds? Well, Pastor, I ain't got nobody in my family to look after. Hello? God will open the doors up for you. I know Phil used to take care of his neighbor lady for a long time. Pat goes up the road and helps a woman up the road that owns the property around him. Many of you others, you go someplace, you find somebody to help. When you sow a seed, there's a harvest. There's an expected harvest. I know Bob didn't plant beans hoping for corn. He's expecting a harvest of beans. Every deed you do is a seed, because the Bible says God will render to each one of us according to our work. Well, I don't want to help nobody. Remember that next time you're sitting around in your living room and you're whining, sucking your thumb, nobody will come help me. Who did you help? Did you help anybody? Did you get outside of yourself and plant a seed? Now, just so you know, that doesn't negate the fact that we still have things we have to do at home. Well, I'm helping everybody else's kids, but I'm going to let my kids go to hell in a handbasket. No, moms and dads, regardless of what you're doing outside of your family, you're responsible for your children. Our Sunday school, we teach the children maybe a little bit more. You're responsible for teaching your children. And grandparents, we are responsible as well for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren when we have influence in their lives. It's us who are responsible. Everything you do is a seed. I look back and I know I'm in good company on this. I pray for a crop failure. Lord, please let that seed die. Bring the Roundup. Just straight. Don't dilute it. Just kill that seed right now. I do not want that thing coming back. I don't want a harvest. Remember how I told you, children are amplifiers, right? Yeah. We may have think that we got away with something until we said, why are you? Oh, I see a little bit of me in that, but why is there so much of it? Because a harvest always comes back greater, doesn't it? Just depending on the seed. It can come back in huge quantities. Proverbs 24:12 says the same thing. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And he will And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? I told you you could interchange the words. The things you did. So, you want mercy. How many of us want mercy? I want to see a show of hands. I'm going to get both of mine up. I need mercy. I need lots of it. Then what do you got to sow? Mercy you shall reap. You sow pain. What are you going to sow? Or what are you going to reap? You're going to receive pain. That's why I told you, folks, the ground is plowed. You got to take those rocks and give them to the Lord so he can set that wall up and set a perimeter around you. And you can look at that wall. I remember that. I'm going to tell you something right now. We can say, well, you got to forgive and forget. God's the only one who can forget, and he had to choose. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you will remember when somebody did something to you. Right? I don't care what it was, how long ago it was. I saw something the other day in the store. And I saw this. I'm back in 1983. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the feeling that came over me. I thought, whoa. You know what? That's gone. I'm not embracing that again. I'm not taking that rock out of the wall. You know, walk around here and see my precious rock? This is my pet rock. He's a pretty blue rock. You know the problem with the blue rocks? They are so dense, they're heavy. We wouldn't crush them when I worked at the mine because they would break the jaws. That's how tough they are. We've got an orange rock in our flower bed, just like it. I don't know what they're made of. I've never sat down. But they are so hard, they will break the things that are trying to break them. As a matter of fact, this rock in our flower bed is only this big around. And since we live on a hill, when we backed the truck up and dropped the tailgate, Joshua and I both were, it took off rolling down the hill, and we were both in front of it, and it's pushing us down the hill. We couldn't get our feet to lock in. See, you can look back and say, you know what? I remember. I remember the pain that brought. Oh, you know, I remember that sandstone. I remember. It just started with a little infraction. It was just tiny. But then I let another one happen. And another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. And we let a sedimentary rock build up. And it builds up in our hearts. And God said, if you'll let me take it, I'll turn your mourning into joy. I'll turn your ashes into laughter. But you got to do things God's way. You've got to praise him, folks. And here's one I'm going to help you with. Your children. Yeah, they can. I've been a child. I know. We can be buttheads. We all can. I didn't get any amens out of that one. I know I'm not the only one. Speak good over their lives. And oh, by the way, you got to embrace them. You got to love them. You got to tell them what they mean to you. Because the devil sure will. The devil will flat out tell him what he means to him. Your words spoken. We've praised the Lord. Start sowing seeds. Start speaking life over your family. Speak goodness over your family. Speak God's word into the situation, into your life, into your business. Whatever it is you do. If you work for somebody, speak life into that business. Do yourself a favor. Quit complaining about the place you work at. If you don't like it, leave. But if you're comfortable at it, bless it. I think I'd rather be working at a blessed business than a cursed business. If you take that time to sow that seed, your children, they'll start coming around. They still have their own decisions to make. Let's keep that in mind. We still are in charge of our own decisions. I'd like to say God made every decision. And God's like, I did not. I did no such thing. You did that. Speak life. If you don't know what else to speak, what's the song say? Speak life. Well, I'm afraid. Pastor, I'm just afraid. What are you afraid of? You got to identify it. Well, I don't know. Then you need to stand against the spirit of fear that's trying to come upon you to stop you. We've plowed the ground. Speak out. People don't realize how powerful praise and worship is. It is the tip of the spear. And the rest of it comes in. The tip just gets it going. It takes the rest of it, your words. They got to be spoken out, by the way. But it's a silent prayer. Yeah, here's God on day one of creation. Right? Wrong. And God said, let there be light. He spoke forth your words. This is why you've heard me talk several times about, now, by the way, that came, I believe, out of the book of Enoch, about how God told Enoch, he said, they've taught writing, and I think it's useless. Because again, I'm going to steal your notes, Miss Gloria. Remember where you're at. She's writing notes. She's writing words down, right? If she takes it home, shuts the binder, lays it down, what good is it? Well, Pastor, I read the Bible every morning. Okay. What are you getting in you? What do you feel? I'm getting the Word of God. Bless God. I feel good. Well, there we go. You're starting to speak it if you're telling me this. However, start speaking into your situation, the Word of God. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is not your friend. You're going to have to get violent. And I mean, you are the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and it's starting to rain violent. Y'all get that? You're going to have to fight like your life depends on it. Otherwise, you're going to be found in judgment. You've got to get violent with the devil sometimes. Well, he should just shudder. He's arrogant. Has anybody ever noticed arrogance doesn't shudder? He's Scrappy-Doo. Some of you don't even know who that is. That's Scooby's dumb little nephew. Shaggy was better than he was. We have a tendency, folks, to embrace the arrogance without a wall to prove what we've been through. The medals and ribbons that our military wear, they're a display of what they've been through, what they've accomplished. We call them bragging rights. You look around and you're saying, but Pastor, all I've got are scars. Scars brag too. God took me through this one. I saw the hand of God move through that one. Spiritual scars. We're all beat up. We've all been whooped on. But our words have to be spoken out. My desire for a long time had been to see this body start to grow bigger in numbers. But until the day I spoke it, your life was okay. Sorry. No, I'm not, because you're growing. You're going to grow. We're going to grow. Instances like what we had today, people are going to come in here. The woman knew to come here to pray. Like I said, that was what I picked up. But what I'm telling you is, that's going to be the norm. People are going to know where they can go to. They're going to know who you are. People know where you live. They know where you go to church. It is amazing the people that know everything about you. I sat down, was eating dinner one time. Well, it was a Cornerstone. It was still a Cornerstone then. Having breakfast. And it was just me at that point. And this couple came in and they sat down at that big table in the middle when I used to have that. And they start talking. The guy knew where I lived. He knew where my son had just bought a house. He knew I was a pastor. And I have no clue who he was. I do now, but I'm sitting here thinking, how do you know all of this about me? How do you know what house I bought? I just bought it. People know. They know where. He knew where I pastored. Praise God, he's a believer. Not a psycho that I'm aware of. There are some psychos in the believer world. But I'm here to tell you, folks, people will know who you are regardless. Because here's what the devil's going to tell them. Don't go to At His Feet Christian Center. Don't go. I got to go to At His Feet Christian Center. This community, this village, this county, that's where we're starting. God's going to give us this county. And I'm here to tell you, folks, we're not blowing apart at 200. It's not happening. It's not. We're awake. And we're going to shake the kingdom of hell. Because as you begin to speak life, as I look around here, we have people from all over the county. Different part, all each end. And some from an outskirt county. Speaking life into that situation, you'll take it. Oh, Pastor, you don't know the devil literally sat up in my backyard. Okay? We had a witch set up right in ours. She left. But aren't you afraid of the devil? Seriously? The Bible says that when he is revealed, the world's going to say, are you really who we were afraid of? Hitler would not have accomplished a thing if it hadn't been for the evil in the men around him. Hitler was just a loudmouth corporal. I know another loudmouth corporal. Nine! That's all I can do. but he was surrounded by evil. Imagine what God can do with good. 12 men turned the world upside down. I think we can do a little bit more. I think we can do it. Because guess what? We ain't alone. There are other churches. I refuse to be Elijah sitting in a cave. Oh God, oh, the whole house of Israel has turned against the idol, and I am the only one. Boy, what are you talking about? Is it 5,000 men? I can't remember the exact number. 5 or 7. I got 5,000 men whose knee has never bowed, and they are ready to stand with you. But we do that, don't we? Oh God, it's just me, my family. Well, let's see. I'm looking around here. A bunch of you are the patriarchs in your family and the matriarchs. Stand your ground. Oh, but my grandkids, stand your ground. Don't back down from it. I don't care what's coming after them. Whether you've got a spirit of homosexuality that's seducing that child, whether you've got a spirit of greed, a spirit of addiction. If you've got a connection, you got the connection. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're the top dog, who else is greater? Our society today has pretty much eliminated the concept of the patriarchal and matriarchal. But God didn't. God still functions on kingdom principles. And since we've praised his name, we've plowed the ground, start planting the seed. Start speaking. Start sowing. Start doing. Whatever it is God tells you to do, do it. God told me to plant a seed, I planted a seed. Oh, what's your harvest yet? I don't know. This harvest hasn't come back yet for it. It's going to be a big one. Huge. Now, I'm going to throw this out there to you. This is an opportunity for you. I knew it. Pastor was going to hit us up. I'm not taking an offering. I'm going to hit you up, but not taking an offering. I'm going to give you an opportunity to sow a seed. Pastor Bob and Carol Montgomery in Michigan are planting a church in Stryker, Ohio, which is 2.5 hours north of us. And they have an opportunity to purchase a building, and they've asked us if we would sow a seed into that building. We are sowing a seed. I'm giving you the opportunity, because I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to help them build their buy their building, which is turnkey, to finish our building. That's how seed works. That's what the seed will be for. We can do some of the stuff, but we can't do all the stuff. So we need money, because work is not cheap, and the workman is worthy of his hire. So we're going to do that as a body. You pray, ask God what he wants you to sow. I'm not setting envelopes out. We're not setting a designation. I'm not going to say, we're going to send $500 and that's it. Or we're going to send $1,000 and that's it. Because if $2,500 comes in, that's what they're getting. Oh, Pastor, I'm telling you folks, quit, take the limits off of God. Take the limits off of God and watch what he does. He'll move, but we're going to help him start that work. Let's see. Is there 2 weeks to Labor Day? The Sunday before Labor Day is when we're going to send it. That's when it'll be. Take it in. It's 2 weeks, right? The Sunday before. Is that next week?
Well, Labor Day's on Monday.
Yeah. I know the fair, but doesn't this fair start next week? It starts this week. Yeah, we still got 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, I thought, don't do that to me. I've gone through the week, and I'm like, oh, hey, I still got tomorrow. And she's like, what are you talking about? Today's Friday. I thought it was Wednesday. That's what happens when you look down and you start working, you don't look back up. All right, 2 weeks. That's when we're going to receive that offering. You can put it into normal, but make sure you mark a separate envelope for it, that it is for that seed. And that's, like I said, we're believing. I'm speaking this out now for the funds to come in. By the way, I want to tell you this much. We owe $14,000 on this building. $14,000, that's it. Personally, I'd like to see it all gone too. Well, we can still, yeah, I don't care about that. That's still money every month that we can put into the building to get it ready. But 2 weeks. So the seed, we're believing God for money to finish this. We've got some in the building fund, which, like I said, we've identified the carpet now. We're going to call them, get them up to measure, get the carpet down. Tim and I are going to sit down and talk about the different things that need to happen around here and get the ball rolling on some of that stuff. And believing every time we do it, the money's going to be there. Because I'm telling you right now, folks, for those of you that are still trying to fight it, and you're trying to, God, how? Let me tell you how this building worked out. We had $3,000 in our building fund. Anybody done a project lately? $3,000 don't touch a project. Okay? We had $3,000. Not only did we purchase this building on land contract, no money down, but we remodeled this, built those rooms, cleaned things up for months. There's a couple of you in here that was with me. Enough crud cutter in our eyes to, they should be bleach white. But I'm telling you, folks, in that short period of time, we spent $18,000. And we didn't receive one offering special for it. God started moving on people that we knew, people that heard, and they started sowing seeds into this ministry. Because God wants this place here. He told the first pastor, go to Mount Gilead. He went to Edison. He left. The second pastor stayed in Edison. The ministry died. God had already showed me the building that we were to go to and started the thing in Mount Gilead. Well, pastor, what happens if we outgrow it? We'll stay in Mount Gilead. I happen to know where a store's at. He just bought it to hold it. How'd you like that? Nice paved parking lot. Well, pastor, it ain't going to happen. They said this wouldn't happen either. But here we are. The devil wants to stop what God is doing. And we're not going to let it happen. I'm too dumb to quit. I'll be dumb on that regards. That's the only time you can say I'm too dumb. So, everybody understand what we're doing? Yeah. Amen. You going to speak life?
Yeah.
Go out of here today. Speak life. Speak life to your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, whatever, your dog. Kitties, yeah, if you got kitties. Whatever. except the rats. You can curse them. Unless you're a mouse person, then more power to you. I ain't afraid of them, but I don't like them running across my feet. All right, let's stand. Now, concerning this young lady today, if she comes to your heart to pray, pray. But do not let it weigh you down. You're not her God. You're not her boss. But your paths crossed so that we could pray. And that's, those are my good glasses. That's what we need to do whenever our paths cross with somebody anywhere. You don't carry the burden. If it's still on you, pray. Pray until that burden lifts. Well, I don't know how to pray. That's why you pray in the Spirit. Because there's a pretty good war going on. That's why I had all of you that have a prayer language to pray in your prayer language. And if you don't have one, I pray that you get one. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that is the only way to go. In your prayer time, say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me that with the evidence of praying in tongues. Oh, but isn't that going to make me weird? Nope. You're already weird. Let's get that out there for you. It's a well-known fact. Anybody that hangs out with me, you're weird. But you're also blessed. I'd rather be weird and blessed than... What is normal? Oh, well. But anyhow, just remember to pray for her if God puts her on your heart. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you that the ground is now plowed. It is open. Father, I speak life into every person in here today, in this building. Lord God, I pray that as they go about their week, that you go before them, that you set things straight that have been set to trip them up. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving, that for your miraculous hand, Father, and protecting our brother Rob. Father, to ministering health now to Harold as well. Lord God, I thank you and praise you for these many wonderful things you're doing. Father, we know that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we will resist. We will locate. We will close with. And we will destroy him by any means that you bring forth. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I love each and every one of them. I bless them, Father God. I pray that you move in their lives. Father God, that you fill them with your peace and love in Jesus' name. Amen.